working Monday night, and Tuesday might not be quite right. So come by Sunday, Sunday night I'm free.
Dane Baptiste, welcome.
Thank you. As a pillar of the community, I'm very grateful for being able to attend this podcast.
We're so honoured to have such a pillar of the community
Thank
here.
You. I urge everybody to vote for me in the upcoming elections.
I sat here drinking green tea as well, so he is really wholesome, honestly.
Really wholesome.
My policies and my tea is green.
Yeah, good.
So yeah,
that's a good slogan.
Oh, what's that cup you've got though? It's a disposable one, isn't it? That's a shame.
Oh, I've got a disposable
I'm
one
sat
as
here
well.
Really smug with my reusable one.
I mean, it's reusable, but it's still a thermoset plastic, which means
it's proper plastic. It's really thick plastic.
So even though this is like not a reusable cup, mine will biodegrade at some point, which yours never will.
It never will. And I've had about four of these.
We're greener, really.
So really, we are greener.
Okay. I am confused, and the reaction's confusing as well. It worked out really badly for me yesterday, this cup, because I'd had coffee in it, and I was like, oh. I was getting a tea at the services on the way back from Bournemouth. Don't want to show off, guys, but have been at the seaside for the weekend. I was like, oh, could you give it a bit of a rinse if you don't mind, because it's had coffee in it. She was fuming. So I sort of sloped off to the side to wait for my tea. She was absolutely gutted about it.
And I
thought,
witnessed
well, this
that.
Goes either way, because like you want us to do. Do you want us to do it or not? Anyway, so I get into the car, have a sip. Spat it out. She hadn't rinsed it. So I had just a cross between tea and coffee. It was revolting.
Do you want to call her out?
I'm
Where
sorry.
Was this service
Hold
station?
On.
Costa.
You...
Winchester, love.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The worst of the Costas. So...
No, it's where she's from.
Oh. And also, what do you have against cough tea? Everyone likes
cough
that.
Cough tea, yeah.
Oh,
I never want to experience it again. It was revolting.
Do you remember doing that when you were a kid? Going, oh, I think I'll just mix my tea and coffee.
Remember those days? Now kids smoke e-cigarettes. How things have changed.
Do they? Is that what kids do now?
I don't know. I don't hang out with no kids. Well, apart from you, Beth.
I do, famously.
I can tell because you have a My Little Pony colour scheme for your cup.
Yeah, I do. Oh, God, yeah.
And your jumper.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That's very much
great. Just eating.
Just eating cookies. I'm channeling my 8-year-old
like
self because it's Easter holidays.
You look like an undercover cop trying to catch, like, I'll have a coffee because I'm a bad girl. Hello, darling. Hello.
Oh, my God.
Beth Granville, paedophile.
Current vibe.
I just had my jumper. I've come back from Bournemouth. Look, glamour models in Bournemouth. What are you doing down here? What are you doing down here?
Oh, God. Current vibe, Sweet Valley High.
Basically.
Can't believe that.
Oh, sir, I'm just buying some cookies as well. I'll get some cookies for you, darling. You're under arrest.
You are literally dressed like a paedophile hunter. Brilliant.
Yeah, perfect.
Well, keep in mind, I'm a pillar of the community.
Yeah.
When you say awful things. So
yeah.
It reflects on me and my campaign for...
Okay.
What good work are you doing in the community, Dane, at the moment?
Recently? All right. Recently, like, I helped this lady with her bags into the lift. So that was nice of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
You held the door for us on the way in.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That was cool. Then I held the drinks.
You did hold the drink,
yeah.
I took public transport with the other peasants. Oh! Peasants! Dave!
Charms, cut.
With the other well-cherished civilians of said community. And I recycle and stuff.
Right. Yeah, see, we're really good at recycling, and then our council have made it really difficult, and they, like, leave stuff. I find it should be really easy to recycle, and it isn't. It's turning into such a pain in the arse.
And I just don't want to turn into one of those people, I mean, I already have, that goes, oh, it just ends up in fucking landfills anyway, doesn't it? I've turned into that person, which makes me want to throw everything away.
I mean, you're not as bad as the person that goes, throw stuff on, like, a train platform and goes, I'm giving someone a job. I'm giving someone a job.
Yeah. Do those people exist?
Yeah.
That's gross.
The logical could have been someone like leaving skid marks all over the toilet and be like, no, give someone a job. It's not that I have no personal hygiene. I just keep giving someone a job.
I'll keep the
economy going with a bum. That's what I'm doing. It's all austerity, mate, including the whole sanitation thing, because like I said, they make it so hard to recycle now. Now you've got a food bin and you've got to wrap it up before you put it in the bin. And it's like, so what do you guys do for a living? Since I'm the one separating the stuff, wrapping it up, putting it in separate bins. What they got to do is tip.
Yeah, it's like, I get that you want it all, like, cleaned and dry, but it's like,
It's food, dude. What do you want from
just
me?
Just shove it all in.
What about making corporations have better packaging?
This
is what annoys me. Yeah, it's like, oh, I haven't got any of your own bags of you. It's like, no, but why are avocados in a plastic tray?
But this
and
is
then
the thing. We're made
so
to kind of
annoying.
Feel guilty and take responsible for things that actually need massive legislative change made to it. Because like we're not making a dent in it.
Now this morning they've got the whole new bill, like now $12.50 if you have a particular card, like a new congestion charge. So now they've put that price up as
that.
Well now. And it's like, any kind of emissions tax, all this carbon tax, it's like, it's nothing to do with us. When they're like, you guys should be more responsible. I'm not the person that's cutting down trees for bloody toothpicks, am I?
Yeah.
That's you.
That's not a pillar of the community's job, is it? You've got bigger stuff to do than chop down trees for toothpicks.
Well, it's even like hybrids. They're like, well, the engine's a hybrid. Yeah, but the rest of the car is still made from the same stuff that cars are made from. So it's not really that much of a hybrid,
is
it?
I know. It's so frustrating. We feel so much like guilt on a daily basis about all of these little things. And it's really important to make those changes. But when people aren't leading by example, like governments and corporations, it's so annoying.
It's just so frustrating.
So frustrating.
But other than that, the government are doing really well at the moment. So let's lay off them because everything's
everything's going
sweet,
really
isn't it?
Well.
Everything's coming up Millhouse. Other than that, so you know,
that's a good way to put it. Everything's coming up Millhouse.
So, but yeah, so what did you get up to this weekend, Dane? How was your Sunday? We talk about Sundays a bit on this podcast.
A bit. That's what it's about.
Yeah, it's supposed to be about it, but how it's ended up is we just talk a little bit about it.
That's what Sundays are for.
We're fascinated by the British Sunday. I used to go to church every Sunday growing up. I don't do that anymore.
Because you're not mad.
So yeah. you didn't go to church?
I didn't.
Okay, well, thank you for having me, everyone. I didn't know I was coming to a heathen podcast. So I'm expressing a good message.
We did go to church recently. We went to see Childish Gambino. He took us
to
church, didn't
he?
Yeah. He was like,
oh, that was
let's go to church. And I was like, yes please. One of the best nights of my life. Since watching Prince years ago.
Yeah, all right, don't rub it
that
in.
That was the best.
Furious about
How did that get in here?
Yeah, anyway, just talking about church and then I thought of Childish Gambino. And Prince. He's never that far out of my thoughts, to be fair. he's always sort of pretty close
on
to anything. He's always on the periphery.
How long was it set?
About an hour?
Yeah, about an hour. It was so good, wasn't it?
Oh, it was incredible.
I bloody missed it, because I was going to go to when he was supposed to come with Scissor the first time, and then he cancelled, and then I didn't get around to going.
Well, he announced when we saw him that it was his last ever tour.
Oh, that's...
But then he did new music. I was like, I'm very confused.
Yeah, it can't be.
Maybe his last tour is Childish Gambino.
This is what we think.
That's what we thought,
we'll reinvent himself.
He'll be the symbol or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really mind-blowing. He's just... How is one human so
Oh, she's
talented.
Off. She's off. We've lost her.
No, but
he's
an incredible artist, isn't he?
Yeah, fantastic.
Like, he's just...
He is my creative spirit guide since Kanye broke my heart. So
oh,
I'm with
God,
that.
Yeah, that was awful,
it's
isn't
a shame,
it?
Isn't it?
No,
I listened to College Dropout the other day and I was like, it's still such a great album.
They're all great up until My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, I think. And also, goodness and greatness are not necessarily the same thing.
Yeah.
Talked about that on your podcast. This is a good opportunity to take people to Dane's podcast. That was brilliant, that episode. Was it with Phil Wang?
Yeah, yeah.
Dane
what
does
about
a podcast called Dane Baptiste Questions Everything.
And
it was like, would you rather be good or great? Because lots
right.
of great people really
weren't
very
good.
Good.
Yeah.
And for a very in-depth and brilliant discussion about that, go to Dane's podcast.
I should podcast on your podcast first before we start plugging my podcast.
No, but it's just a nice, natural place to drop that in.
I know.
But yeah, anyway, church. No, so Sundays. Yes, we're back.
Back to Sundays.
Smashing Sundays. So we are saying Sundays are a really weird thing. It's sort of like a New Year's Day, New Year's Eve kind of thing. What's the next week going to bring? They can be a bit depressing. We're both single and we were talking about it can be a bit of a weird day if you're single sometimes.
But then you're manically busy, aren't you? So are you working most Sundays at the moment?
I had been recently, but I'm actually trying to take more time off on Sundays just because I'm working throughout the whole week. So I'm like, I just get one day off and I feel like it's probably a good day. Rather than break it up and be like, oh, I've got Friday off and then work the weekend. So
Sunday's a nice day to have off.
Well, there's something even like... If you don't do a 9-to-5, there's something that feels really sad about working on a Sunday because you feel like you're the only person, which you're obviously not, but you kind of feel a bit sorry for yourself if you have to work on a Sunday.
You do, but you get past it. I think as a comic, you're like, well, you kind of entertain other people anyway, so work on the weekend, have fun then, or you're doing awards, or if I go to like an advanced screen or stuff like that. So all the stuff that I guess people want to do with their weekends, I can do in the week anyway.
Yeah.
So Sundays, I'm like, just relax.
A weeknight out is better like, anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, weeknights out is so much better.
We love an impromptu wreck up on a Tuesday, don't we? Absolutely love that. It's way more fun.
They're much more fun. And best nights are always unplanned as well.
Always.
So. Always.
If you're going out on a Saturday night, you can guarantee it's going to be a bit of a letdown.
Always. Yeah. I don't know if that's an age thing.
I think it becomes an age thing because you're like, you're over it. And I just think it's because everyone else makes such an effort on a Saturday. Because even I and I do gigs on Saturday and some people are like, bah, bah. You know, it's like, you need this more than I do.
Yeah.
And I can tell. I've done gigs where it's like, on a Sunday where it's a guy's birthday and I think he was like into his 40s now. So he's like, oh, I want to do something on stage. And all his friends are there and they're like, bah, bah. And I'm just like, oh, God.
Oh,
it's like,
God.
So it's just like, seven men having a midlife crisis at the same time. And it's like, oh.
How are you with hecklers? Because we haven't seen... I'm desperate to come and see your stand-up.
I'm fine with hecklers. I mean, I don't enjoy
them.
Oh,
my God, I came to your show at the Vaults.
So you've seen it?
Oh, my God, yeah, Captain Heckles. This one guy, basically... Oh, my God, it was so weird. It was like... So Dane did some new material at the Vault Festival. What's that little bookshop?
Okay.
So it's sort of a funny little venue. Anyway, it's really small, really intimate. And there was this guy who... You would have thought it was just him who'd like been brought in to direct Dane's new material show, just like firing questions. It's like, mate, you're not a caster directing another stand-up show. It was so weird.
So weird.
You sort of gave him time and answered his questions thinking that we'd kind of be abated or like, yeah, all right, great, right, we can move on now, mate, yeah? And he's like, yeah, so, you know, I was sort of, it was like just an open dialogue.
It's like a weird, like, judgmental older cousin. And it's also so it wasn't like a normal comedy club where because it's quite small and intimate, like in a bookshop, so it's not like I can deal with it a heckle normally. And also, because if you make that kind of room tense, it's like if you shout at Beth now and then mute me and immediately be like, oh, okay. So I just had to kind of like manage this guy's heckles and his objections and stuff. And it became clear that he's obviously not been to a lot of comedy shows, so that was fine. I think the last heckle I dealt with, I was in Liverpool, and there was these girls were on a hen do, but they were on a joint hen do because they're getting married. And we were like, oh, that's cool. And I think I'd asked about a civil partnership, and someone was like, it's a wedding! It's a wedding! And I was like, I very clearly was not trying to be offensive in my tone. I was like, who is that in the shadows? Who is this liberal guy in the shadows? And he's like, me, I said it, man. And then he came on stage and was like, I just think civil partnership is a very regressive term to use and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, first of all, come on, man. We're in Liverpool, dude, number one. Number two, civil partnership refers more to civil law in terms of, like, you know, possessions when you're in a marriage. It's not really about me being
girls, have you got a prenup?
Exactly.
Let's get into the technicalities of this.
And I think it turned out the guy, one of the girls getting married was his sister. And so that's why he'd been like, it's a marriage. So,
oh, God.
And then I was like, I look forward to hearing your stories of oppression on stage now as a black man. So he was like, well, I'm half Arab. And I was like, oh, so now you're really paying top trumps. But yeah, it didn't end well. But in the end, actually, they all found it very funny. But I was like, I was able to take it in my stride because, like, I guess he was defending his sister. So I was like, you're coming from a good place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just...
And probably a very drunk place.
No, he was stone cold sober.
Was he?
No, he was just felt very indignant about his sister. Because I imagine...
What kind of hen do was this?
Because it's a double hen do. So it's like both of the brides.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that's... Why are you sober?
Why are you even there? It's a double hen do. It's a double hen do.
There's men there.
But
also...
obviously he's very protective. I can see. So I guess he imagines that, like, both of them going out as hens, so someone's going to go... And I feel like... They can probably handle themselves by now.
Yeah.
And all the women I know that have, like, got married have definitely had separate hen do's. Or men who've had... Because that's the whole point, isn't it? You have, like, one last hurrah.
Yeah.
Like, one sort of night of freedom. So if I was marrying someone, they were like, oh, yeah, so what time should I pick you up for our hen do? Or whatever. I'd be like, well, absolutely not.
I remember I had a girlfriend once who was like, when you get married, my brother's coming on stag do. And I was like, are you talking about? That is ridiculous. Your brother...
Well, it depends if they get on, I guess.
No, I could... Live with your brother. He's not coming on my stag do.
Really?
Really?
Well, why does your brother need to come on my stag do?
Because
he's going to be your family, and if you
exactly,
if you're
met, exactly, yeah. We've got all the time in the world for that. So,
I hate
I think it depends on relationships. I think it's like Oh, hendus are just...
They're just gross.
Oh, my God.
And nowadays,
God.
People want you to spend a fortune. Yeah, it's like, do you want to remortgage your house and come on my hendu? No, thank you.
All of you pay a deposit now, all in the same WhatsApp group.
Yeah. Oh, it's hell.
I had a horrible one recently, but I'm not scared. I don't... She probably doesn't listen to the podcast. I don't think. Oh, God.
You have to say it now.
I know.
You don't have to say who it was. It was just, it was spiralling out of control.
Oh, mate, it was spiralling out of control. And it was my friend from uni, and they're all... They've all got lots of money, and like, because none of them have chosen a career in the arts. And
boring.
Oh, God. And I was just reading these emails coming through. I mean, the first email that came through, do you remember? I was absolutely off my face in balance. It was 5 a.m, wasn't it?
Oh, what? When me, you, and Robin,
me, you and Robin were in there. And I read out this email. And I just broke out in this cold sweat of this breakdown of what the hen do was going to be, like full on spreadsheet. And it was going to cost £548.
No, it went more than that. Oh,
yeah.
Already
that was
and
not including
like,
things like
hey,
wetsuit
guys,
hire
we all, like,
for paddleboard. And then it's like, oh, can you write her a message for the hen book giving her loads of advice? Honestly, the tasks we had to complete were never ending.
See, and you want someone's member of their family to be there when I eventually blow my stop and go, I don't feel like doing things by the fucking schedule. And then when I'm like, fuck this schedule and fuck this wedding. What did you say, Dane? And then now I'm in trouble because he's like, I don't think you should talk that way about my sister. You don't know her like I do. Then now there's tension. No.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's really gross, isn't it, to be like, oh, men and women are so different. But I just don't think that when boys are putting stag do's together, it's as excruciatingly awkward and expensive. Or is that me?
It can be expensive, but...
Yeah, like some people go snowboarding and shit, don't they?
Yeah, some people go crazy with stag do's, but I mean, it depends. Because then at the same time, though, it's like if I was doing very well and I wanted to have a good bachelor party or stag do, then I wanted my friends there, then I'd still be like, well, I don't mind putting up some money towards it.
Yeah, exactly.
But everyone always goes, but if you have a stag do, then you're not supposed to be involved in planning it. And I'm like, yes, I am. Because I'm not going to be like, oh, here's a mankini day. And I'd be like, okay, well, this is fun. You're not coming to the wedding.
Yeah.
Burn it.
Well, yeah, exactly. You can burn this. I don't do any of that crazy stuff anymore. And I don't know. I feel personally, like the whole thing of like asking someone's dad for their daughter's hand in marriage and their family, but I'll do that. But then when it's like, now I'm going to go smoke for like 10 days straight. Is that too long for a stag do? That's like a holiday, isn't it?
All right. Yeah.
5 days?
Like a night
just,
out.
Just have a fucking night out in the
palace. Do you know what this is, man? The wedding's off. How about that? The triple wedding is off.
10 days? We just both went into shock then. I was like, what's happening?
All right, how about this? The wedding's off. Both of you.
Our weddings are. Our wedding will never
be off. Our wedding will never be off.
Ours is very much on, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all going really
well. Well, you two can go back to each other then. No compromising this thing.
I just think have a night out down the pub, isn't it? Just have a night out.
But you should be able to have the whole pub to yourself.
If you want it, but like it tends to be other people that make things more eventful and fun. You don't want to go to a pub with just your friends and sit with just, you could do that in your house, I guess.
Yeah.
But you have to clean your house though, whereas you don't have to clean the pub up after you.
True.
You have to pay a kind of premium. I mean, but yeah, I wouldn't think I'd just like to go away and you know, have drinks with friends and
No one has to have personalised T-shirts.
No.
Or willy straws.
Willy straw. If you ever get married, I'm getting you covered in willies.
If you get willies.
Oh, my God.
They better be biodegradable willies.
Cardboard willies.
There is a landfill somewhere filled with plastic willies.
Do you know, I bet there
is. I'd like to see that.
And inflatable willies.
And also discarded vibrators, because no one's going to reuse a vibrator. That's the sad reality.
Yeah, you don't see them in charity shops, do you? No. I've never thought about
that. What I mean. This is what I mean. And also,
if I told you
your cup was made from recycled vibrators.
Sorry, that was in my mouth as he said that.
I waited for the tape. Yeah, I waited until then. See, no one's buying that. If
no
I was like,
one's
here's
recycling.
A doll's house. This is made from old dildos.
No one's recycling
don't
dildos.
Don't tell them. No, they're not.
And that's really a problem. That I feel they're all going to start coming together and make a big island. And that will be the true island of Lesbos.
Great shout.
Yeah.
Well, you're a pillar of the community. You can go round, like a knife amnesty. You could go round doing a dildo amnesty. just be like, look, guys, as a member of the community, I've got a real concern about recycling. Oh, is it that we're not putting the things in the wrong boxes? No, think again. It's that.
It's been in the right box too much, if anything.
Golden.
So
actually, we should all be buying dildos made out of, like, you can buy ones that are made out of, like, you
Start
know, stone.
38 degrees petition to Anne Summers.
They're like rose quartz and stuff. You can get those.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, it's more important than we think it is, guys.
Yeah.
Like, it is, yeah.
Once we get, like, a whole range of biodegradable and safe non-toxic...
Oh my God, I'm literally thinking this could be such an issue. This could be our million-pound idea. We can start a company that sells sex toys that are made out of rose quartz.
Amazing.
Guys.
All right.
Let's do it.
Yeah, all right. Should I stop recording? Should I just stop? Because we've achieved more than we will for the next half an hour.
I don't know how much I can be involved in the research and development. But I can be a face for the brand.
Okay. You can head it up.
Do you know,
yeah.
like, you know, like when guys.
We'll
do,
give
like,
you free ones, like with your vapes.
Because it always makes guys really happy. Have you seen, like, Love Honey adverts when a woman's like, I can't wait since you brought Love Honey into our home? It's amazing. And the guy's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really happy about it too. It's really improved our sex life, and now we can use all these toys. Don't you agree, Glenn?
Yeah. I agree. I'm in this advert on the sofa, admitting that I can't satisfy my girlfriend. Yeah, I'm fine.
Literally dying inside.
Yeah, my masculinity is fully intact. So, yeah. Thank you, Love Honey.
That's so true.
Poor guys.
You'd just be like, yeah. Thanks, guys. I don't know how we've got onto this.
I mean,
trying to talk about Sundays.
I mean, it's just some of my Sundays involves a lot. Part of it just bullshitting, shooting the shit with my homies, like we're doing right now.
It's fun, isn't it?
Coming up with silly ideas, having a giggle on a Sunday, catching up on stuff. My Sundays is normally my catch up day.
Food and chat.
Food and chat. That's all you need. Food and chat. I catch up on TV stuff and stuff that I guess, which is kind of for a professional reason, like catch up on what's trending and catch up on socials. I've taken big strides to improve my social media presence over the last couple of months.
How are you finding it?
Fine, but I've gotten to a point now where I'm like, I literally have to be like, I am too famous to deal with people like this.
Beth, stop messaging Zay.
which is basically very... Sounds like a very stupid thing to acknowledge, because I'll be like, oh, then now you're just a pretentious dick. Like the other Danes in this industry. I hope you're happy with yourself. But now I actually realise that when you have like a verified account, people actually target you.
Yeah.
Because they feel validated by you responding. And they'll be like, look, I was fishing and I got him to respond. And it only dawned on me in a conversation with a complete idiot. When I think we were talking about like something to do with like contradictions. And I was like, yeah, it's weird that like people are Islamophobic in the UK, but curry's our national dish. And then a woman was like, yeah, but curry is Indian. And I was like, it's a more of a regional dish. Like, they have curry in like Goa and they have curry in like Pakistan and Kashmir. It's not like just in India. It's in India. And I was just like, why am I wasting time talking to you? You're a moron. Yeah. You are a moron. And
this is the thing.
It's really hard to know. And sometimes, like you were saying, some of your ones that you'll respond to. I really enjoy responding to Lucy's ones. It's so fun.
I get some mad stuff.
But you might respond with something and just go, right, I'm just going to leave that there. That's my response. And then it'll just really go on and they don't stop.
But that's
and
why I
mental.
Just...
So you have to make a decision to go, I'm just not going to engage.
Yeah.
You have to. Or, in your case, I would be like, you want to see more? And then send big, big, veiny dick pics.
Yeah.
That'll teach
you.
Oh,
don't. I had a terrible time, didn't I, with dick pics. I tried to kind of like... Not really shame one, but I did like a funny, I did a funny Insta story about a guy that sent a dick pic and everyone was like, oh, that's not very nice. You've kind of shamed him. I'm like, the guy sent me an unsolicited dick pic. Anyway, got loads of them after that, didn't I?
Yeah, she may as well have signed up to Grindr. Like, literally, just loads of them were coming in because these guys are thinking, oh, great, I'll get my dick show.
Have you ever seen like those Microsoft adverts when they're showing like a slow-mo of a jet firing rockets? That's what it's like. It's just...
Yeah. Because it's one of those things, because people go, oh, what do they expect you to do? Want to go out with them? It's like, no, they're not even after that. They don't think... They're going to date me. They're like the modern day flasher. They're modern day flashers. So, the minute I put one on my. So, please, I'm not putting any more people's dicks on my Insta story. So, please stop sending them to me if you're a flasher.
No, definitely not.
I think the worst part of that story is people being like, oh, don't shame him, blah, blah. I feel like when he took a picture of his dick to send to a stranger, we were past the point of shame.
Yeah, exactly.
But then I did start thinking about how, you know, like the whole kind of like revenge porn thing, and people can get hold of other people's pictures. And then I thought, oh God, what if it wasn't him that actually sent the picture?
No, there's more than enough. No, no.
It was him.
The process of uploading a picture onto social media, there is enough things where you can be like, especially on Instagram, it's like, here's your picture. Here's a filter. Are you sure? Would you like a caption? So at some point you can be like,
yeah.
That's your dick. That's your dick, you know. You were about to send a picture of your dick. Are you sure about this? There's a black and white picture of your dick now in grayscale. Are you sure you want to? your dick says is in Legos filter now. Are you sure you want to? Buenos Aires?
That is quite strange when you get one that's penis? Got a Rio de Janeiro on it.
Yeah. Rio de Janeiro penis. Are you sure? So by then they could decide whether or not they should be sending a dick pic. So there's no, you're shaming people basically with social media. And I realised this now is that as technology has increased, people are basically medieval again. Like we've gone this far that people are like, actually the earth is flat. That's this is how full circle we've gone.
Yeah.
And now you've got flashes and that essentially is what you're dealing with. Is like, it's not a new phenomenon, but it's just how we interpret it, because like, you know, medieval times they burn the witch or sew your penis. That's what people do now.
We were saying about kind of everyone goes, oh, social media is evil. And it's like, well, it's not social media is it just kind of puts a magnifying glass on the fact that people are mad.
Or not even a magnifying, it's a mirror. That's all. Yeah. So you can see, you just see it as humanity, because it's how much credence we give it. Because like when I was a kid, the stuff that people say on a social media, if they said it on a bus, you just laugh at your friends and be like, well, someone's had a drink early.
Yeah.
But now you're just like, what does this mean? My body dysmorphia. And you give it way too much credence. And before, you wouldn't give a shit when it comes to stuff like that. Like, even the worst thing, like if a homeless person be like, you go back to where you come from, I'd be like, well, why don't you? Well, you're already there. Who will? And then you just wouldn't care. But you just give them a lot more credibility than it deserves. But again,
that's... Yeah, there's something in the fact that we just need to be a bit more resilient to it and laugh it off. I mean, some of it's terrible, but...
Well, I just think, not saying laugh it off, because like some of it is terrible. You can see why some people would be intimidated. But it's just more, I just think it's one of these things where we just have to definitely just reaffirm the idea that it's like, these people do this, especially the more vitriolic people do, because they're cowards. And if they would do, they wouldn't do that in real life. And that's the kind of frame of reference that people need, like, you know. And also, but I think, yeah, you should be able to, like, I personally feel like with social media, it should work like any other, like you maybe need a license. So maybe a theory and like practical test to see how you function on there. Or maybe a literacy and numeracy test. That would definitely change social media. If you had to pass a literacy test, it would definitely change it. But then, but on the other hand, it's democracy and it's democratized the world.
And
that's the thing, so it's good
or
bad.
If we only let certain people on there,
We can't do that.
I'm afraid.
But we can still. But you know, maybe we should. The anonymity, that's the part that maybe is the issue.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just sat here, sort of thinking about, as somebody who isn't verified. I obviously don't get the shit that you two would get.
Give it time.
Not as much of a problem.
Yeah, don't you
worry. Had like the odd thing.
I feel like you've had more dick pics than I've had.
Yeah, I don't know. So it's difficult for me to comment because it's not like I'm getting bombarded with shit all the time, but I do see a lot of shit. Perhaps the anonymity thing. I just don't know. I don't know. I feel like people are really angry. People are so angry. And I feel like the only thing that can really minimise anger and bigotry and all of those horrible things that manifest themselves in tweets in society, it's just like educating people and making society better. I feel like we can try all of these things to manage what's happening, but it's like the Tories now going, oh, we'll chuck 200 grand at this. It's like, you've made it shit in the first place. That's just a plaster. Like, why aren't we sort of just trying to make society better, and then people are less likely to be gross, you know? Like, I know that's a long process.
We love this. Now, if that was on Twitter, we'd be like, bloody liberal! What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
You want God to be better? Why don't you send it back to where you come from?
Wales, no chance, mate. I don't know. I mean, that just sounds like a really idealistic, but I just don't think it is. I think people are so.
But the thing is, that compounds the anger.
People are having a shit time, and they're like, oh, everything's really shit. So they're misfiring and directing it at people all over the shop.
But that's why sometimes you just have to know, you have to just pick your battles. And there are certain tweets you'll get directed at you that you just think, I'm not even going to think about that.
Muting is more fun than
blocking. Oh, I love it.
Because like I said, that's more when you're on the bus and someone's like, oh, you! And you're just like, la, 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 and they're just there to left to right.
They're just chatting away to nobody.
To nobody, to say right in their own anger. So that's more effective than blocking someone.
Because then people muted.
Yeah. Because blocking's kind of like you can't handle it.
Well, blocking's, they've got a reaction.
Yeah, they feel like, yeah. Whereas if you mute them, it's like, they're just like, which is more like the whole medieval, burn the witch!
Yeah, yeah.
Like some toothless peasant, like trying to throw like an old cabbage. Then you're like, whatever, I don't care.
But I love it. I didn't know there was a mute. You pointed out the mute button. Went on that's absolute why, muting
spree. Because I didn't want to go on Instagram because I was like, oh, there's pressure to. So I was on Twitter and I had loads of people muted. Instagram didn't have mute for ages, and I was like, if I join, I'm going to have to see loads of people's pictures that I don't want to see. I'll have to follow them out of politeness. And then when they introduced the mute, I was like, hello, you. Love a bit of Instagram now.
Sort your algorithms. But it's just a new type of media, and I'm very sure that TV made people go crazy as well when it first came out. So I just think it's still very early on in our social development in terms of how we deal with it. Because some people, it's a great thing. And I think it's allowed us to have, like, I guess, sources of news and editorial narratives that we wouldn't have normally heard.
Yeah, I love that.
Some of the discussions regarding social climate now are amazing that we wouldn't have had if we had to rely on mainstream media alone. So that's cool. But like, that's the thing with democracy, that's what it comes with. So even though we can lament that certain people seem so stupid, I think that's actually quite an accurate reflection of society, because you think about people that are constantly being weaned on like tabloid journalism and you know where they're giving away like free bread and stuff, like you can imagine the kind of mentality. And like I said, because there are no barriers to entry for you to social media, then it is actually a truly representation of democracy. And, and it makes you understand why, when you're saying stuff like how many people voted for Brexit and voted against their own interest, and then you can look and see the narrative and understand why how long people have kind of been weaned on this idea and why they behave that way. So
but it is that worry that if you're I always think it's great because so much information is out there, but then certain people are only going to follow certain accounts, and then you've got people just living in an echo chamber. Yeah.
But that's how we kind of stratify ourselves socially anyway.
We've always been like that. I know I'm so guilty of it. I'll read something and I'll really cling on to the things that confirm what
I
already think.
Yeah. Your worldview
absolutely. Yeah. We all have that, don't we?
Yeah, all human beings do that. But if so, I think it's quite representative in that respect, because you know, it's not that we're not lacking in information. It's the knowledge, I suppose, and that's a big.
It's what people want to hear, isn't it? It's how open-minded people are.
What makes them more comfortable? Everyone likes to feel better about who they are, and no, it's much easier than taking responsibility for your own actions, which is why it's like, well, the government says we have to do this, so we'll all do it, and we'll all pay 5p for plastic bags, which is not really solving the problem. It's just taxing it.
Yeah, so. Stealth taxes. Tories are great at that.
That's a stealth tax.
It's a fucking stealth tax.
It is every year, isn't it? Which hen do's going to be coming?
And then afterwards, the wedding says no box gifts, and you're like, no, you're taking a piss.
You're not having a gift.
You are taking the piss now.
Isn't that the good thing about, like, if you do comedy, people, like, get you to speak instead of giving them a gift? That's great. They don't say it's instead of a gift, but I very much assume it is.
Yeah, it's your time.
And they're like, will you MC or will you do... Yeah, will you speak? I'm like, yeah, that is my gift.
Yeah, I'm like, can't I just drink like everybody else? But, no, I do it,
I suppose. Or I get drunk and do it.
That works as well. Or I've had to write speeches as well. I think for most of my friends, I'm
same.
Yeah, if I've not done the speech, I've had to write the speech instead.
What, for someone else?
Yeah,
I've done that.
So they take your glory. Oh, I'd be fuming.
Oh no, you just sit there absolutely thrilled when things are getting low.
Yeah, and also it's like I imagine I'll be on stage again at some point.
So I'm like, get a shot.
You can have this one because the thing is, if it goes well, they'll be like, oh, I could do it too. What do you think, Dane? Oh, that went all right. I think I could do it too. And I'd say, yeah, you know. Why not give it a go? Just whatever ends this conversation immediately. So, because as well as that, I've got people be like, so Dane, now this is actually a job. When are you going to get married? And I'm like, as soon as I get off the crack, and then and the conversation's over. So yeah, bullshitting on a Sunday. That's what I do. I haven't had breakfast on a Sunday for a very long time.
What, like a brunch?
Yeah.
That's my favourite.
Oh, we love a Sunday brunch, don't we?
Brunch is... basically been catapulted into the collective consciousness of people these days. Because a brunch was not that big of a deal, I'd say, like 5 years ago.
But it's the best, it's just the best thing.
Well, it was always there, it always existed. You just didn't call it that, I guess. You just went, let's have a late breakfast.
Yeah, but we know that it's no longer for breakfast, is it, guys, ladies? We know that brunch basically means booze lunch, right?
Not for me. I don't like drinking before, like, I don't like drinking early. That bottomless brunch, what the fuck? I don't want to be drinking. I'll more than likely still be drunk at 11 o'clock on a Sunday. What are we getting the other one? No, not I say we, me.
I think brunch. Brunch is a big thing in like the Emirates, like in Dubai and stuff. Brunch is very big because you know, people can drink during the day, and it's probably only times so if you're an expat, especially as a woman, you're able to socialise, because it's like it's very frowned upon for you like to go out on a night at a town and just be some women going out.
This is why I do not want to go there. because
if you are, the men will approach you and be like, "Hi, ladies, so how much?" So
and they were like, and you're arrested. You're out on your own. And
having said that, you are all loaded here. just threw a price out there, I'm not saying that I'll, you know.
I mean, and they are loaded, but then they literally would, if you threw a price out there, they may actually haggle. That's the kind of mentality you're dealing with in Dubai, especially because I've done shows there. And like,
What made you go and do a show in Dubai?
Money.
We've all got our price, Dane, haven't we?
Yeah, it wasn't that high. Money in the sun. But you just do a few gigs for expats and stuff, and I got some friends that live out there, so I get to kill two birds normally, and it's cool. So
as well.
Sorry, you kill two birds while you're in Dubai, because that's legal out there.
The laws are really different over there.
Yeah, it probably is a lot more legal to do that than it is.
Yeah, I remember when I used to model and they'd be like, "Oh, do you want to do a like PA in a nightclub in Dubai?" I was like, "No, thank you."
I mean, it's fine, but you just leave immediately afterwards. You'd probably be paid very, very well. But it's most of the time, if you go to a nightclub, a lot of the women there will be escorts and be working women, which is because it's very much an industry there.
Yeah.
But that's not really said.
It's just one of those places that, as a female, there are just a few places in the world that I just think, in solidarity with how they treat women, I have no interest in going there.
It's crazy because, like, I have conversations with, like, women from, like, the UK or, like, Iberia or from Ireland and stuff, and it's, like, just so not used to being spoken to like a person, because every introduction is normally like, I'm this and I have this, rather than who are you. It's just, everyone's just qualifying themselves by how much they earn and what their position is. And so, yeah.
That's so, when I went to uni. I remember I went to uni in Bristol and this guy asked me in this club, Lizard Lounge. He was like, within minutes of meeting me, he went, "So what does your father do?"
What?
Sorry? And I went, What? I just couldn't work out why I was being asked that. I was like, that is the weirdest question coming from Wales. Imagine someone what'd your dad do then? Has he got any work going on Saturday? Because, your dad got any labouring work I can do? You know, you're just really not, unless someone's like, I was like, he's a musician and whatever. What school did you go to? And I was like, St. Richard Gwynne High School in Barry. Why might you know it? It's so weird. Those kind of questions, those different circles that you mix in, where people ask you certain questions. What school did you go to?
Does your father do?
Does your father do? What? What is happening? I went to uni in Bristol, and there's like lots of really, it was my first proper introduction to posh people. Because I've got friends with money, but we don't have the class thing in Wales like you do in England much.
No, we know.
We know. Which is that, like, not, it was just such an eye opener for me. And my friend Ollie at uni, I loved him. He was so posh. And we went to his friend's house, and he was like, "Oh, mate, I've got to pop in to Beegs's butler's. Got my tweed jacket that we're going to use for the performance." I was like, "Right, what is happening?" Anyway, he went, "Oh, by the way, Beegs," he ran back out to the car and went, "Beegs's dad's here. If you get into a conversation with him, I'm doing business and economics." He was doing a drama degree with me, but none of his parents' friends were allowed to know. Anyway, comes back after the holidays, and they'd all been to Beegs's house for like New Year. And he was like, "We got him absolutely leathered. He's getting up the next day to go to Verbier." We'd replaced everything in his case with all his ski gear, salopettes, taken everything out, put in swimming trunks, factor 30, goggles, rubber ducks, bloody hilarious. He wakes up, takes the case, phones us from "Your face, Lucy's hilarious." phones us from Verbier, and like at that point, so this is like 2004, and I'm thinking he could afford to phone you from Verbier. So that's where my head is.
Yeah, that's insane.
I'm like, that would cost, like, I wouldn't call someone on a mobile in 2004 from a foreign country. Anyway, it says, "You bastards, I've just had to spend $2,000 on new ski gear."
What?
Well, I know, I was like, what is happening? What world is this? It was mad. They'd go to Le Monde and like like play card roulette. So they'd just order everything. Like 14 of them would go order loads of food on the menu. Waiter would come over and they'd just hand all their cards and the waiter would pick whatever card that they got put on.
But did they say,
just ask their parents
but did
to
they
off.
Say please and thank you to the waiter? That's all I'm concerned with.
I don't know. Yeah. Funnily enough, I was never there with them. I just heard about it anecdotally.
Did he bring you along as a squire? Guys, I've brought a squire.
I brought a maid.
Lady in waiting.
But yeah, it was another world I got introduced to. And that's what one of my brother's friends lived in Dubai for a while, and he just said it's like a billionaire's playground. He's a bit of a capitalist. Like he loves a bit of capitalism, and it was too much for him.
If you're there for long enough, you can see why it would happen. But it's like everyone wants to be treated well. Like you can stay in hotels. And I'm like, this is the life. And then you look up and then you see a quasi slave on the building site with a tunic and a hard hat, and you're like, hey, this is getting harder to enjoy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it is.
It's like, you know, like Alaska. You know, there's a show called The Deadliest Catch.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So you know they're trying to catch like Alaskan snow crab.
Yes.
So there's like just a bucket of it at a buffet. Like, oh, this is the thing they almost die for. Here you go. Here's a bucket, mate. And then, and then it'll be like 38 degrees, and there's guys outside being like a barbecue, and I'm like, how are you still alive? You're basically looking into the devil's anus. Like that's how hot it is. And then he'll be making you like a CBD man. And then so that's all fun. But then it's just because people go to Dubai who'd normally be like supply teachers or labourers and make so much more money.
Yeah.
Then they get Dubai fever, and then people get used to people holding doors open to them without saying thank you and stuff.
Yeah.
And
like being famous.
Clicking their fingers and having a waiter come to the table to take their order and stuff, and like never having to refill their own glass with wine. And then as time goes on, like you can see that people's attitudes change. And then I'm like usually there for like 10 days. So by the 10th day, I'm like, please, God, if you can hear me, have a nuclear weapon drop on this place and smite Sodom and Gomorrah from your earth on. Because you're just like,
but, you know, leave the staff.
No, no,
they've done nothing wrong.
Take everything. And by the end, you're just like, these people are soulless and take everything. But then, you know, but like, because on the 5th day, I'm like, oh, it's like I'm in a business class cinema where I can recline the seats and I've got a blanket. It's amazing. And then by the 10th day, I'm like, this place is an abomination.
Yeah.
Because you obviously just see just like the...
It's just too
much. Yeah, the iniquity. But yeah, it's just too much. But
let's not all go to Dubai.
Yeah, so...
it's a nice place to visit, but it's just... And the idea of it is cool, but it's just... You just realise at a certain point, like, this can only exist at the expense of someone else.
Yeah, of course.
And that is a problem, so...
Yeah. And so you will go to Pret instead, yeah?
unless you had non-violent convicts doing the work and reconstruction stuff in Dubai, then they could maybe get like a nominal wage and also be, you know, extending their hand for some level of diplomacy and helping with the reconstruction of societies that may have damaged with their actions and have some kind of self-worth from being gainfully employed.
Pillar of the community, Dame Baptiste, ladies and gentlemen.
Not just at home, internationally.
Internationally, yeah.
Yeah. Good idea. Right, we're coming to the end now. So we've got a couple of little questions we'd like to ask you before you go and we get thrown out of the studio.
That's fine.
Right. So question one
is, what would your ideal track be to wake up to on a Sunday?
We'll add it to our Smashing Sundays playlist.
Which we are
Spotify.
Doing. We keep promising that we're going to put this out. We are compiling it.
It's beautiful.
Yes, you have got some good playlists. I believe in you. I'd say, I'll make sure I've got the name of the song right so you can remember it.
I'll write it down.
Infringed on any copyrights. All right, okay, I found it.
Oh, yeah, will we? Oh, hello.
Some sexy Love stuff to wake up to, brothers. Isn't it?
That's a good song to wake up to.
Yeah, that's nice.
I would set that as my alarm.
Exactly, yeah.
Gabby said Azealia Banks 212, and I was like, yeah. I mean, it's an absolute banger of a track, but who wants to wake up to that? Yeah, that's lovely, waking up.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas Azealia Banks, if you wake up in a dry tank, then...
that's a banger for like 3 o'clock on a Sunday morning while you're still
it was Gabby, maybe she misunderstood.
I think it's the kind of song when you hear that song and then someone goes, you made bail.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to see you again.
That's a great Sunday morning track.
Yeah, that's going on the list.
Anything soulful on a
lovely
Sunday morning.
Oh, and this song is good as well. Again, I heard it.
Mate, you can't have two. Who do you think you are? We're not in Dubai now. You can't just have everything you want.
Woman.
Silence.
Bitches be tripping.
Men are talking. That's it. apparently, I don't know. That's what people say. Right. That song and also Love No Limit by Mary J. Blige. But I had anxiety. Nice. It's a nice song, but I had nice. Yesterday. If that song doesn't cheer you up, then I don't know what will.
All right.
So, yeah.
Lovely stuff.
That's the answer.
Second one, Sunday viewing, ideal Sunday viewing. Is it the Antiques Roadshow or is it the Ted Bundy tapes?
Oh, neither nor. But if I had to choose gun to my head, it would be the Antiques Roadshow. But
it's not gun to your head.
You don't
no, sorry,
one
I was
of them.
Just...
I know, but they're good choices, though. Sunday, I'll tell you what film I watched yesterday was that film Coco, the animation about the, you know, ever seen that with a kid?
No.
Oh, watch that.
Coco.
Yeah. Watch that.
Well, I've never heard of this.
It's really good.
Is it on Netflix? Is always the second question after someone tells me what to watch.
I'm not sure. It probably isn't now because it's a Pixar animation and they're all bringing all their stuff in-house.
Oh, okay.
But it shouldn't be too hard to find. But
if it's on Sky, we won't see it.
Yeah.
Okay. But you should definitely watch Coco. You'd very much like it, but have tissues ready.
All right. Oh, God.
Yeah. No, but in a nice way, but you're like...
Oh, my God.
You wait. See, I love a depressing...
It's not depressing. It's more like the kind of like up kind of... Okay.
Okay. I keep trying to get
I always
Beth,
cry when I watch stuff.
I try and get Beth to watch Atonement or The English Patient nearly every Sunday and she's having
none
of
it. And I'm never emotionally stable enough to deal with it. I'm like, not this week, you know, right. Yeah. Let's just go to the farmer's market and pretend everything's all right.
That's good. I had to show a friend Forgetting Sarah Marshall for the first time.
Oh, that's
day.
A fun film.
But he's just like, how could people be so cruel?
I thought that film was funny. Isn't
it is
it?
Funny, yeah. But initially, the whole part when he's getting over Sarah Marshall.
I've never watched it.
Yeah, it's a.
I quite like it.
It's a good. It's really good. It's really good. Jason Segel's very liberal with his frontal nudity, but yeah. So if that's any kind of selling
not
point
really.
For you,
not really. I think he's got cold eyes.
Well, that would explain it. That would explain the nudity.
The eyes of a shark.
I feel like Lucy's telling you to see a film with a flaccid penis, isn't it? It's like saying to someone from McDonald's, "Hey, you want to go get some burgers?" So.
Oh yeah.
I'm over burgers.
Busman's holiday. None of them are they?
No. Oh yeah, please don't.
Oh God. Anyway, perfect. Talking of flaccid penises, last question. Quick, just a
no
quick
no one talks
roundup.
About flaccid penises.
Oh, not enough.
Except doctors. They're just like, ugh.
That's right.
Mondays.
We're having this. Oh, no, I'm not even getting into that.
Right. What's your perfect Sunday?
It varies, but I would say a good Sunday is like, I suppose, if you're with somebody, it's like, you know, it's really just chilling, and catching up, and maybe watching a nice film. What's a good film that I used to, like? I like, I guess a Sunday is like a guilty pleasure kind of film. So for me, it'd be like something like Beverly Hills Troop or the Brady Bunch movie.
The Brady Bunch movie.
Oh, that's so my jumper today, isn't it? The Brady Bunch movie. That's so Brady Bunch.
Barbie.
Marsha.
Marsha. Yeah, that's a great film. And,
great film.
Yeah, so that's a nice Sunday. And I suppose it's Sunday dinner at my mother's house. So some good food then. And just resting. And I feel like a day where it's like somewhere... on the cusp of spring and summer, where it's like you have a long day of like daylight, you can stay out for a long time as well.
Yeah.
But you're not like sweltering. So
we are in the studio today.
Yeah. So I suppose like go for a walk or something, do some exercise, maybe play some football and stuff. You walk in a park or play. So it depends. Yeah. If I was with someone platonically, then it'd be like, you know, playing football and stuff in the park, and then romantically you might go for a walk or a stroll and stuff and hang out then.
Before playing football in the park.
Oh, and play football in the park. But I don't know if you want to watch some. Oh yeah, or play football together. You can play football with a partner. That's fun. Or play basketball. Something fun. Make it more interesting. You want to play like, you know, strip basketball. Could be fun. But
in
again,
the park, get arrested.
I mean, it depends.
It's a story, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a story.
What's really funny is like all the guests we've had on so far have all just been really different and do different jobs and varying ages and everything. And everybody's perfect Sunday
is really similar,
pretty much the same thing.
Yeah,
really
it's,
similar.
It's
like,
the Sabbath. It's driven into
and
everyone's
it does
head to rest.
Feel like I like we should do a Watch Your Perfect Wednesday thing as well. Like what? It's funny. I wonder if all the other days are so similar.
Well, in Dubai, Sundays people go back to work, so the weekend weekend begins on a Thursday. So then it's Thursdays, there, Friday, and Friday.
Okay, Thursday. I love a Thursday.
Yeah, I love a Thursday.
Thursday night out.
Thursday is the weekend eve.
Yeah,
yeah, it is.
There's something you feel a bit naughty.
Christmas Eve. Yeah, banging.
When I used to work in media, and media Thursdays is when everyone was like,
Thursdays,
then Friday is going to be like business lunches and stuff. So everyone's like, yeah, you can kind of recover when you get taken out by clients and stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, Thursdays is like weekend eve. So yeah, but Sundays, I think, yeah, it varies. For me, it'd be like, yeah, playing a bit of football, having nice food, and then just resting. But then sometimes I'll be gigging at night, so it depends what kind of gig. It's not too far.
Can you relax if you know you've got a gig on a Sunday? Mm-hmm. Can you relax in the day, or are you always kind of aware?
I can relax a lot more, but it depends on the gig, really. It's like if I'm doing something like, I might be doing a gig in Birmingham, then I'll be relaxed. But then they're like, if you're doing the Apollo, then I'm like less relaxed. But
yeah,
but it just varies, really. But
because you're literally gigging like from now to eternity, aren't you?
Well, I bloody hope not. I hope not. But then yeah, but I would like to. But I guess I would at that point, let's say 20 years from now, I'd want to be gigging because I want to, not because I have to. Mm-hmm. Or at some point, if my future wife is like, look, could you just get out of the house, please? Like, I'm tired of having you under my feet.
Yeah, I'm sick of the sight of you.
Yeah, basically. And
you don't go on enough stag do's anymore.
Exactly. Well, they're all married now. What do you want from me? What are you out of here? So, and I'm sure I'll be great at that point. So, yeah, if you can just be, this is home enough to like, so someone sees you and then, because sometimes the absence makes the heart grow fonder. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go make money now. Bye.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
See you Sunday.
Communicate with you FaceTime, yeah, and then see you Sunday. So you wait for a week, make a bit of money, show up with some good diver.
See you on Sunday to play a bit of footy, love.
Yeah.
perfect. Thanks so much, Dane, for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. What is very fun.
Listen to Dane's other podcast, Dane Baptiste Questions Everything. And you've got another podcast you do.
I do, called Quotes Full. That's out on a Friday as well, available on iTunes and Spotify. And what's the other one? SoundCloud. As is Dane Baptiste Questions Everything. So please do listen. Keep listening to Smashing Sundays as well. And recycle your dildos, please. as a pillar of the community. They always get me down, so come by Sunday. Make it after 3. Come by Sunday.